from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi hopes Indonesia-Philippines Islamic Education Cooperation to show the real face of Islam. Indonesian Ambassador to Malaysia wants a joint promotion between Indonesia and Malaysia. Now the news in details. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi hopes that the Islamic Education Cooperation initiated by Indonesia and the Philippines is expected to show the real face of Islam, which is a blessing to the entire world. In addition, it is also expected that the cooperation can teach the values of tolerance and moderation to the younger generation in both countries. This was stated by Minister Retno Marsudi when opening the workshop on Indonesia-Philippines Islamic Education at Borobudur Hotel, Jakarta, recently.
Let me share my hopes. First, through this cooperation, we must be at promoting the true face of Islam. Islam as rahmatan lil alamin, blessing to the whole universe. We must show madrasah and pesantren are the past, present, and future of Islamic civilization, as places for nurturing the values and culture of tolerance, peace, and moderation. Second, our cooperation must seek to promote modern and high-quality Islamic education.
Minister Retno Marsudi moreover added, through the Islamic education, Indonesia and the Philippines can prevent conflict and radicalism. The workshop, which was held on February 14 to 15, divided into 7 sessions, namely Islamic education in Indonesia, Islamic education in the Philippines, curriculum, the development of Islamic teacher education and cleric, parents and social community, tolerance in Islamic life, and education cooperation map. At the end of the workshop, the two countries also formulated a map of various cooperations. The participants who attended the workshop represent various institutions and ministries. From the Philippines, the participants represent the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the Ministry of Education and Culture, Zamboanga, and the Institute of Islamic Studies. From Indonesia, the participants represented the Ministry of Religious Affairs, Ministry of Research and Higher Education, Indonesian Ulama Council, Nahdlatul Ulama, and Muhammadiyah Islamic Organization, as well as the State Islamic University. Indonesian Ambassador to Malaysia Rusdi Kirana wants to hold a joint promotion between Indonesia and Malaysia. He told the media at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs Jakarta on Thursday that the joint promotion in some potential sectors is one of efforts to realize a better bilateral relationship between Indonesia and Malaysia.
Waktu meeting sama Malaysia Indonesia Business Council, saya sudah sampaikan.
In the Malaysia-Indonesia Business Council meeting, I said the way to make a better relationship is through joint promotion. We established Twin City. To promote tourism, we go together to the third country, for example, to China, to Korea. We introduce our culture because claiming each other is not good. Both countries promote their cultures and also tourism, as well as to hold trade promotion.
Rusdi Kirana added he is optimistic that many potentials develop from joint promotion between Indonesia and Malaysia. Therefore, the embassies of Indonesia and Malaysia should continue to make efforts to realize joint promotion of both countries. However, on the other hand, Rusdi Kirana also wants all cases involving Indonesia and Malaysia, especially the case of Indonesian migrant workers, can be resolved immediately,
since it can determine the success of joint promotion between the two countries. Capability and expertise of the world's peacekeepers continue to advance and develop together with the support of Indonesia's own strategic industries for the sake of the world peace. It was stated by Director General of the Defense Strategy of the Indonesian Defense Ministry, Major General Hartin Asrin, at panel discussion's theme, Efforts to Address the Gap of Capabilities in the United Nations Peacekeeping Mission at UN Headquarters, New York, the United States, recently. Hartin Asrin emphasized that the discussion was aimed at analyzing and promoting innovative strategic industry in supporting the UN peacekeeping and also performing the success of Indonesian contingent in conducting duties mandated at the UN peacekeeping by using national strategic industry products. Hartin hoped the agenda can promote Indonesian strategic industry products to the UN peacekeeping contributor countries. The agenda also discussed several important issues, such as synergy of the UN inter-stakeholders in overcoming gap capability, partnerships potential, and cooperation for the UN member countries. Moreover, it discussed concrete steps to strengthen the UN peacekeeping forces, including procuring alternative and innovative equipment cost. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Number of arrivals of foreign tourists from China to Bali began to recover. The condition occurred after the Bali provincial's government lifted the travel warning after the decline in volcanic activities of Mount Agung. Head of Bali provincial's tourism office, Anak Agung Gede Yuniarto Putrin Kuta, on Friday admitted that tourists from China returned to normal. When the Lunar New Year 2018 momentum, the increase is expected to reach 20%. There is an increase in number. I receive a report from my staff that tourists from China are now almost 5,000 per day. Before the eruption, it was recorded 15,000 per day. The average number of Chinese tourist arrival reached 17,000 to 18,000 per day. Yuniarta Putra moreover said, in addition to the great number, the arrival of tourists from China also has a good quality. He added the Chinese tourists have an interest to the natural atmosphere, especially beaches in Bali. In addition, the Chinese tourists also have a high interest when invited to a shopping tour. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs seeks to intensify culinary diplomacy or gastro diplomacy as part of efforts to increase economic diplomacy that has recently became the attention of Indonesian President Joko Widodo in the meeting of Indonesian representatives. The culinary diplomacy can be realized through the opening of typical Indonesian restaurants in various countries spread all over the world. This was conveyed by Indonesian Foreign Ministry spokesman Arman Atanasir in his press conference in Jakarta on Thursday.
The
representatives are asked to be able to open the Indonesian market, which serve Indonesian foods both in the context of street food restaurant or fine dining. Arman Atanasir added that the culinary diplomacy is an effective way to introduce Indonesia to the international community closer. In addition, it is also expected from the increasing efforts of Indonesian culinary diplomacy can increase export of Indonesian products, especially products such as spices, materials needed to make processed food and beverage. So far, Indonesia has implemented culinary diplomacy by utilizing several culinary icons that have been famous worldwide. One of them, in 2010, Indonesia promoted rendang as a typical Indonesian cuisine. Rendang was appointed as the best food of the U.S. cable news network CNN version through Facebook poll, followed by fried rice in the second position. Indonesian Ambassador to Vietnam Ibnu Hadi agreed with Indonesian President Joko Widodo's statement. The president said the economic performance of Vietnam is better than Indonesia. According to the ambassador, it can be used as a benchmark for Indonesia to improve its economic performance related to the increase in export value in particular. Ibnu Hadi explained to the media crew in Jakarta on Thursday that Indonesia's export through 2017 only reached $168.7 billion. This figure was lower than Vietnam, which reached $214.0 billion. As for the value of Indonesian imports are the $156.9 billion, and Vietnam reached $211.1. Not only that, in the growth of gross domestic products in 2017, Indonesia only capable to reach 5.05% below the Vietnam's GDP. Therefore, Ibnu Hadi said, as the ambassador of Indonesia to Vietnam, he will continue to provide input to the government. In addition, he also not only put Vietnam as a competitor of Indonesia, but also as the potential partner countries. The Indonesian National Police Chief General Tito Karnavian has instructed all regional police chiefs to heighten security measures around their local places of worship in the run-up to the Chinese New Year celebration. He stated in Depok, West Java on Thursday that the police know what they need to do based on experiences from the previous years, but they will enhance security measures. He had also instructed the regional police chief to map out potentially vulnerable areas. He added that he has urged them to look at the maps and identify possible areas that are prone to being sensitive, as they could change from time to time. Apart from several monasteries, some shopping centers and crowded areas will also be under intensive surveillance during the Chinese New Year celebration by deploying more police personnel. The first day of the new Chinese year 2569 falls on Friday, marking the beginning of the Year of Duck. The celebration will begin on the first day of the Chinese calendar and end on the 15th, which is often referred to as Cap Gome. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today, entitled Leadership Crisis in South Africa. In a news conference broadcast by local televisions on Wednesday, February 14, 2018, South African President Jacob Zuma announced he would soon resign. But Zuma also said he disagreed over the decision of his party, the African National Congress, ANC, that wants him to resign or face a no-confidence vote in Parliament. The ANC party is struggling to improve the decreasing level of public confidence. According to local media, Zuma, an ANC cadre who has been president in South Africa since 2009, has lost public trust over a string of corruption allegations. Zuma has denied such disgraceful acts, but the High Court of South Africa in 2016 once declared Zuma violating the constitution for using state money to finance his private home. Local police on Wednesday raided a luxury mansion in Johannesburg belonging to a businessman close to Zuma. In addition, Zuma is also awaiting the decision of the Attorney General whether he will be prosecuted for corruption or not. As a result of a series of corruption allegations, Zuma then resigned from the position of the ANC party chairman. This was welcome by the opposition as well as colleagues at the ANC who disagree with him. Nevertheless, the ANC continues to honor Zuma for some positive policies he made as president. In a statement, the ANC said Zuma's withdrawal made the South African situation more certain. Zuma's positions at the ANC was replaced by Cyril Ramaphosa, who is currently vice president. After Zuma stepped down, Cyril was deemed appropriate by Parliament to replace Zuma as South African president. Hopefully, the leadership issue in South Africa can be resolved soon. Regardless of guilt or innocence, Zuma's statesmanship has been demonstrated by releasing his post. Now, the challenge of Cyril Ramaphosa is, can he make South African better? That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia. VOR.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
As recorded in history. We start with an event which occurred on February 16, 1918, the independence of Lithuania. On February 16, 1918, Lithuania gained its independence from the Soviet Union. The country of Lithuania was firstly built by King Mindaugas in 1230. In 1795, Lithuania was annexed by Russia. In 1918, following Russia's defeat in World War I and increased the freedom movements, the country finally gained its independence. In 1940, Lithuania was occupied by the Soviets, and 1 year later, it was occupied by Nazi Germany. After the defeat of Nazi, Lithuania became part of the Soviet Union. For many years, the Lithuanians had fought a full resistance to the Soviet colonialism, but after 50 years later, it became independent on March 11, 1990. Lithuania, which is located in northeastern Europe and in the western part of Russia, has a 65,000 square kilometers area with a population of 4 million people. The next event was in 1959 when Fidel Castro became Prime Minister of Cuba after President Fulgencio Batista stepped down. Rebellion, which was led by Fidel Castro on the 1st of January 1959, succeeded to overthrow Fulgencio Batista. After Batista escaped abroad, Castro was installed as Prime Minister of Cuba on February 16, 1959. Fidel Castro served as Prime Minister for 5 months. On July 18, 1959, he proposed to resign, but it was refused by Cuba's cabinet. Otherwise, the cabinet asked Fidel Castro to be president replacing Manuel Urrutia, Cuba's president at that time, who was forced to resign. And the last event was in 2005, when the Kyoto Protocol comes into force. The Kyoto Protocol is an international treaty, which extends the 1992 United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, UNFCCC, that commits state parties to reduce greenhouse gases emissions based on the premise that A. Global warming exists and B. Man-made CO2 emissions have caused it. The Kyoto Protocol was adopted in Kyoto, Japan on December 11, 1997 and entered into force on February 16, 2005. There are currently 192 parties, or Canada withdrew effective December 2012 to the protocol. The protocol's first commitment period started in 2008 and ended in 2012. A second commitment period was agreed on in 2012, known as the Doha Amendment to the Protocol. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome to the segment of My Indonesia with the title Indonesian President Continue to Encourage Improvement of Investment and Export Climate. Indonesian President Joko Widodo appreciated the momentum of economic growth with its parallel trend. From 5.06% in the third quarter of 2017, the economy grew to 5.19% in the fourth quarter of 2017. President Joko Widodo wants the trend of economic growth continue to increase in 2018. President Joko Widodo at the plenary cabinet session at the State Palace Jakarta on Monday, February 12, said that the government sees the step of Indonesian export, especially coal commodity. Similarly, household consumption is also expected to improve, in line with the implementation of cash advance programs in some areas. President Joko Widodo also reminded that investment and export are the key to drive Indonesian economy. Therefore, the president requested that Indonesia continue to improve the business climate and to invest from the central to the regional level. President Joko Widodo moreover said, Indonesia is competing with other countries that are also taking similar steps like what Indonesia do. Indonesia should not be callous if it does not want to be left behind from other countries which offers better business climate. In addition to investment, President Joko Widodo also reminded that the country's export contributed 20.37% of the gross domestic product GDP. This should be improved by many breakthrough steps, beginning from accelerating the resolution of barriers faced by Indonesian exporters and also to start involving businessmen and state-owned enterprises to work non-traditional export market. The president has ordered the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to hold non-traditional exhibitions abroad starting next year. The events should be started early next year in Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Africa with high number of population and high economic growth. The president called ambassadors, consulate generals, and the trade attaches to strengthen economic diplomacy, strengthen economic intelligence to spearhead their promotion, investment space, and must be observant to see export opportunities. Meanwhile, Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Darmin Nasution, stated that Indonesia's economic growth target should be realized. When the world economy is starting to rise, Indonesia should be able to take advantage of the situation. Minister Darmin Nasution said, if Indonesia only relies on domestic economic factors, the economic growth of Indonesia only reach 5%. Therefore, Indonesia should take advantage of world economic growth to contribute its economic growth. Minister Darmin Nasution also stressed the importance of support for investment, namely business climate and improvements of licensing. He said, the Ministry of Economy continues to resolve issues related to the investments. That was my Indonesia.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi hopes that the Islamic Education Cooperation initiated by Indonesia and the Philippines is expected to show the real face of Islam. Indonesian Ambassador to Malaysia Rusdi Kirana wants to hold a joint promotion between Indonesia and Malaysia. Capability and expertise of the world's peacekeepers continue to advance and develop together with the support of Indonesia's own strategic industry for the sake of the world peace. Number of arrivals of foreign tourists from China to Bali began to recover. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs seeks to intensify culinary diplomacy or gastro diplomacy as part of efforts to increase economic diplomacy that has recently became the attention of Indonesian President Joko Widodo in the meeting of the Indonesian representative. Indonesian Ambassador to Vietnam Ibnu Hadi agreed with Indonesian President Joko Widodo's statement. The Indonesian National Police Chief General Tito Karnavian has instructed all regional police chiefs to heighten security measures around their local places of worship in the run-up to the Chinese New Year celebration. Listener, that was News in Brief over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. Invite you traveling to Solo, Central Java to see Grebek Sudiro tradition. Stay tuned. The Chinese New Year celebration in Solo, Central Java is so vibrant. There are 5,000 lanterns adorn the city of Solo, especially in the complex of Pasar Gede, Jalan Sudirman, and Jalan Urip Sumoharjo. Moreover, the majestic Lunar Gate is also installed along the road between City Hall and Pasar Gede during the Lunar New Year celebration in Solo. The location of Pasar Gede actually becomes the center of Imlek celebration in Solo. At the peak of Chinese New Year celebrations, 12 zodiacs, 12 neon nox so, 5 dog lanterns, good fortune lantern, and Warkudoro lanterns are also installed on Jenderal Sudirman Street or Jalan Jenderal Sudirman. In addition to beautify the city of Solo, with various lunar ornaments, various series of events were also presented to enliven the Lunar New Year 2569. At the peak of the event, the Solo government also held Grebek Sudiro and Festival Jenang. On February 11, thousands of people packed the area of Jalan Urip Sumoharjo and Jalan Sudirman. They came to watch the cultural caravan of Grebek Sudiro, the unification caravan of Chinese-Javanese society, began at 2 p.m. Grebek Sudiro is a celebration which is organized prior to the Chinese New Year or Imlek, which features 9 gunungan or offerings containing crops and basket cakes, the special cake of Chinese New Year celebration. The 2 offerings are in the form of miniature of Monument 45 Banjarsari, the mayor's office Loji Gandrung, and a miniature of Pasar Gede. The caravan was started from Pasar Gede to Jalan Jenderal Sudirman, Mayor Gusmanto Street, Loji Wetan Junction, Captain Mulyadi Street, R.E. Martadinata Intersection, Jutnyadin Street, Juanda, Warung Polom Junction, Urip Sumoharjo Street, and back to Pasar Gede. After paraded, the residents were fighting for kue keranjang or basket cakes. Listener, Grebek Sudiro is a mixture tradition of Chinese and Javanese communities. The word Grebek is a typical Javanese tradition to welcome special days in Indonesia, such as Mulud or birth of Prophet Muhammad, Shawwal Idul Fitri, Eid al-Adha, and Suro or Javanese New Year. The peak of the Lunar New Year celebration, when the fighting for Gunungan, which is arranged to form a mountain. The moment was based on Javanese Ora Baba Ora Mama philosophy, which means no effort, no eat. Meanwhile, the shape of the mountain, according to the Javanese people's belief, means gratitude to the Almighty God. Listener, Grebek Sudiro tradition is held annually in Sudiro Prajan area. Sudiro Prajan is an urban village at Jebres sub-district, Solo. In this region, ethnic Chinese have inhabited for decades and settled alongside the Javanese community. As the time goes by, there was a marriage between the two ethnic groups, then born a new generation. To show the acculturation between the two ethnics, then they held a new tradition called Grebek Sudiro, which was firstly held in 2007. Was the segment of Indonesian Wonder for today with a topic about Grebek Sudiro tradition in Solo. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. See you and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is Sarah Rewold Service, Voice of Indonesia, with regular program Miscellany. A special segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including arts and culture, environment and technology, and even lifestyle. Today's edition is about Kampung Adat Pulau Garut, village with 7 buildings. Stay tuned. Listener, Indonesia has not only have Samosir Island located in the middle of Lake Toba, North Sumatra province, but also a popular settlement in the middle of the lake are Lake Changkuang, precisely in Garut Regency, West Java province. The settlement is called Kampung Adat Pulau. Kampung Adat Pulau is very unique. The number of buildings reaching 7 in this area is maintained. 6 buildings are residential area that depicts girls, while another one describes a boy that is used as musola or small mosque. The 7 buildings are symbols of the numbers of children of the founder of Kampung Adat Pulau, Mbah Dalem Arif Muhammad. The children are 6 daughters and 1 boy. Mbah Dalem Arif Muhammad himself is the first Muslim spreader in the region.
All the buildings in this Kampung Adat Pulau have an elongated roof, but the customary chairman's house looks different from the others because the roof uses roof coverings from black fibers or palm trees. In addition to the number of buildings, people in this village also should not add the head of the family of six heads of families. Every house must be inhabited by one family. A lot of customs have been preserved up to now. Take for example, the inheritance rights is possible for women instead of men. The custom has been created due to the death of Mbah Arif's son when he was circumcised. Until now, the people of Kampung Adat Pulau in Garut, West Java, do not raise warlike animals such as cows, horses, goats, and so forth. Because most people work and make money from farming and gardening, so they fear that these animals can damage the residents' rice fields and farming. Although not allowed to maintain these animals, the people of Kampung Adat Pulau is not prohibited from eating meat from these animals. Another unique thing, people are not allowed to visit the tomb of the founder of the village on Wednesday and Wednesday night. That was Miscellany for today. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Miscellany.
Tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, wherever you are, welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present the songs of Southeast Sulawesi. Well, listeners, let's listen to the song entitled Tanah Wolio. listeners, the song from Southeast Sulawesi region entitled Tanah Wolio, you have just listened. The song is sung by Rosnah. The title of this song is Wolio, that is the name of an area in the town of Bau Bau, the island of Buton. Wolio is the name of a village built by Mia Patamiana, one of the founders of Bau Bau City, and is a unified language used during the Buton Kingdom. Currently, Wolio is still used as the language of the local community. The song Tanah Wolio has a meaning about the Wolio region itself, where Wolio is one area with its natural beauty and wealth, such as mining and marine products. The lyrics of the song hint about the hope for prosperity as well as bright future through the development of Wolio potential. Well, listeners, before returning to other songs from the region of Southeast Sulawesi, let's listen to the next song entitled Tong Kuno. Happy listening.
Thank you.
listeners, Tong Kuno song sung by Ebet is a Muna community song in Southeast Sulawesi. Composed by Moses Lakahia, the song tells about Tong Kuno village. Kampung Tong Kuno or Tong Kuno village, or usually the community call it the old village or Liwu Ngok Dao, which is located on the Muna Island as the initial settlement of the Muna community. The lyrics of the song tell about Kampung Tong Kuno, which is still strong in customs. Through the lyrics, the song tells the young generation to understand the teachings of ancestors in Muna in preserving the customs to be able to lead and build the island of Muna in the future. Well, listeners, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Anta Lagi Lele Rumato and Katinduku, sung by Iin Indriyati. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia. VOR. Today's sound.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.